To the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Top of the third hour. Do these people know? I mean, maybe we'll forego the rest of the clip. You can listen to it yourself. We were playing around the 1 hour and 26 minute mark, and I was going to play forward to the hour and 35 minute mark. Just listen to that. And listen to, no offense to anybody, Jim Bohannon listeners, no offense. Honestly, I'm not, that's not the point here. The point is to simply say there's a lot more going on. And as you know, the title says everything. Hayek's book, The Road to Serfdom. If you're on the road, what are the mile markers? How do you know? And one of the things Hayek points out is that Nazi Germany didn't happen by accident, and it was who they were reading, who they were listening to, the views they were espousing that led to that. And, you know, setting aside the conspiratorial view of history, so to speak, taking all things somewhat at face value, again, in The Road to Serfdom, Hayek points out in Chapter 10 why the worst get on top, the glaring fallacy of the notion that, sure, you know, Germany went Nazi because of Hitler. It's the opposite. Sure, Hitler rose to power because of Nazi Germany. We don't want to admit that. That's uncomfortable because then we become culpable. The same thing is happening in America. We have arguably, systems and programs that eclipse Nazi Germany in ways. We've talked about that. I don't want to get into that right now. But do these people know? Everyone should know. The sirens of progress: cybernetics, technocracy, and communitarianism. Wundt, Skinner, Freud, Jung, William James, Arnold J. Toynbee, Oswald Spengler, you know, Saint Simon, Auguste Comte, Bodwin, you know, Nietzsche, George Bernard Shaw, obviously Himmelfarb, all these guys, John Stuart Mill, Poplar, Norbert Wiener, obviously, Robert Nisbet, you know, and you got Thomas Malthus, Thomas Paine, the first American communist is what I think of him as. And all this stuff, you know, speaking of Malthus, you got the Malthusian eugenicists, Darwin, Galton, you know, Huxley, all those guys. This is the ideological drinking trough. This is the fountainhead of American so-called thought. These people don't even know. And honestly, I'm going to say it again, and I think I'll just leave it because it's horrifying. But I'm saying it because this is what it looks like to me. It looks like that scene from Hannibal where Anthony Hopkins' character is feeding Ray Liotta his own brain. Ray Liotta's character. And it's worse than that, in my view. We're being encouraged to feed ourselves our own brain. And say, oh, it's delicious, and everyone's laughing about it. Isn't this fun? Oh, this is delicious. It's horrifying. On a certain level, in a certain context, to step back and see the ideological underpinnings, this sick, you know, death cult ideology that undergirds so much of the popular thought and social convention in American life today. And it's obviously not a static situation. We're moving from somewhere to somewhere. Are we concerned? Let's go to the phones. John in Tennessee, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Thank you again, Chris. You know,
hey, John.
Jim Bohannon, I've been listening to Jim Bohannon for almost 40 years. But what's interesting is there's a guy in Nashville that used to be on. His name was Ralph Bristol, who called himself a wordsmith, who was the editor of Air Force Times magazine. And he wound up on a 90,000-watt radio station in Nashville, basically misdirecting the people on the radio, presenting himself to be something other than he was. A libertarian-leaning Republican is what he called himself. So you look at Jim Bohannon, and I look at military service. When I hear someone and I know that they're connected, I look at military service. So let me give you some facts about Jim Bohannon. His second wife, Annabelle, they attended high school together but lost touch. 33 years, get that, 33 years later, they reacquainted at a book signing and wound up getting married. That's his second wife, Annabelle. His first wife, Camille, is a noted broadcaster in her own right with a long career at the AP and UPI and her own radio program. Now, his second wife, Annabelle, when she was a little teenage girl, was a frequent babysitter of Claire McCaskill, U.S. Senator. What are the odds? Okay, then you go a little farther and you see what he did when he was in the military. And this is all off Wikipedia, so take it with a grain of salt, but I believe it's true. After graduation from the college, he enlisted in the Army, signed to the ASA, or the Army Security Agency.
Yeah.
4 years service, tour duty during Vietnam, during the Tet Offensive. He was at Lan Binh, and
sure,
he served as part of the 2nd Field Force. So then you go a little farther. What is the U.S. Army Security Agency? It's basically Signal Corps Intelligence.
Yeah.
And get this off their website, which echoes Army Security Agents, LATO, our Latin motto, was Semper Vigilis, vigilant always, which echoes the declaration, listen, often misattributed to Thomas Jefferson, that the price of freedom is eternal vigilance. So they're taking credit for something that Thomas Jefferson was known to have said. The Army
Andrew
Security
Jackson
Agency has taken
said
credit.
It most notably, I would say, in his farewell address, but yeah.
Okay, so basically, and part of that was Army Signal Intelligence Operations located at Fort Meade. He was also, so Fort Meade, what is Fort Meade? And you look at this, and it's all interconnected to where, during that time, with what was going on with the CIA, was Jim Bohannon and Annabelle and even maybe Claire McCaskill as a child.
Right, right.
They all involved in some kind of... And you wonder why we're in the shape we're in now, because they have basically stolen this country 60 or 65 years ago.
With Jim Bohannon, you start to bump into, you know, the OSS era. And right? And... oh, gosh, what was I thinking? Oh, well, you know, I mean, speaking of all of that, you know, it's just another coincidence that Julia Child happened to work for Wild Bill Donovan and Roald Dahl. You know, of course he's going to write children's books. And, you know, everywhere you turn, these people have this kind of background and pedigree like you're talking about.
And the romp,
but it's all just a coincidence.
This magic mirror.
Right,
you know,
right.
The romper room with the magic mirror being
exactly.
able to look through the television. How many
right.
people know about her husband? How many people know? And when you tell them, they look at you like you've literally taken drugs.
Yeah.
Because you choose to dig for the truth, and you find this stuff, and you're going, what? You know,
yeah.
I feel like Tim Taylor on Tool Time going, what?
Yeah,
it's really
exactly
mind-boggling. And then you look at people that are wholesome. You look at people that appear to be wholesome or maybe want to get out of, and they're destroyed. Fiddling around, they wind up broke or they wind up in a mental institution or dead.
Yeah. I was talking, you know, we've gone through the music or started to dive into the music, the counterculture era, you know, Laurel Canyon scene. And, I mean, I mentioned the other day listening to going through some of the archival footage and interviews and stuff like that. And, you know, Donny Osmond talking in 1985 about how he didn't want to, you know, he was saying that labeling is a problem and it's going to draw kids like a moth to a flame. And there was already a problem. Obviously, for decades, there had been this issue. You've talked about it personally. We saw, you know, the whole, did shooting Elvis above the waist actually cause more of a sensation than it prevented? I mean, that's sort of a rhetorical question. But Donny Osmond saying, if you guys slap labels on albums, I don't want to have to put lyrics into my song so that, you know, to get a PG or an R rating in movie equivalence or parlance, so that people will want to listen to my music. And what
well,
has happened
look
since
at,
then?
You look at the title of the albums and look at the songs that are written and look at the occult and esoteric meaning in the words, and they're telegraphing exactly what you're buying, but you're listening to the music and implanting this vile lyric, literally now especially, vile, vile, satanic lyrics in your head saying, it's got a good beat, listen to the words. And then take into consideration, like I've told you privately, if music can tame a savage beast, what can it not do? What are the limitations when things are impure and you're soaking them in? And you're turning them up, and you're shaking the trunk lid on your car, young people.
Yep.
And you're basically setting in a cesspool of sound. Anyway, I'll leave it at that, but I would suggest to everyone that's within the sound of my voice, if you're near a big city, 50, 60, even small town, Idaho, 20,000 watt, and you got a host down there that's got high ratings, and he showed up out of nowhere, do a little bit of research on him and see who you're listening to before you follow or agree with anything he says. You need to
and
know
that goes for here,
him.
Too.
It's,
sure. Yeah,
right.
Everywhere.
That's that's like you said, who cares more about you than you?
Right.
I noticed there was a host here in Nashville, and he was actually speaking out against his stuff before it was really controlled, and he wound up disappearing. You know, he no longer had a job, and it was at the same time that they took the, you know, the American hero, finger quote, Gordon Liddy off the radio here. Two guys showed up the next day, one from North Carolina and one from Oklahoma, Michael Del Giorno and Ralph Bristol. They claim they met on the telephone on the way to Nashville. They arrived on the same day. They started work on the same day. And they called one another brother from day one. And they are destroying the airways in this city. People, for a long time, for at least 7 years, were putting these people up on pedestals. They're the Republican champions and blah, 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 blah. And then when the time came for a program director, who do you think hired the program director? These two guys got to choose their boss. What is up with that? Why am I the only one that sees it? It's controlled. Yeah. And if it's going in a direction that CBS or ABC or Fox or Clear Channel doesn't want it to go in, they do a house cleaning and they bring in their people and they set it straight again, because you can't let the people think. You've got to lead them, you know, and you're talking about Bernays and the photographs. Isn't it amazing that one photographer could be in Vietnam or Cambodia or wherever the picture was of the girl running at that exact moment, and in Times Square at that exact moment, Iwo Jima at that exact moment.
Right.
And it's all the same guy. And you've got a White House photographer. And when he retires, he puts out a book called Moments in Time, published by Time Life. And it's got everything in it. And if you look at the pictures, you can even see in the photographs the deception, if you have eyes to see. If you can't see it, then you're looking saying, oh, a moment in history. We were so fortunate to have that guy there to put it on film. Mm-hmm. And it's all staged. It's all planned. He's got an appointment. Don't forget, in 6 months. 6 months from now, Reagan and Bush and Gorbachev are going to be standing on Battery Park with a plane flying over the Twin Towers, and you got to be there in 1991, almost 10 years before the towers came down, and Bush is pointing at an airplane flying between the towers with a smile on his face.
Yep.
But that's just coincidence, Chris.
Right.
I found the book. And it was a gift from John Siegenthaler to someone here in Nashville. I bought it at a used bookstore for 25 cents. And it's full. Why would Siegenthaler give that book to someone unless he thought it was important? You know, he was a member of Robert Kennedy or John Kennedy or Robert Kennedy's staff, and found it important enough to buy the book and give it to someone. They didn't get it. They threw it to a used bookstore, and I got it. So, anyway, long talk, maybe very little meaning, but we need to be aware. We need to be awake. We need to see what's going on, and we need to share the information that we get.
Yeah,
and absolutely. I appreciate you doing it. Thank you, Chris.
You're welcome. Thank you, John. Appreciate it, as always.
Bye.
Remember Goldfinger? Ian Fleming, you know, Camp X, all that fun stuff. Mr. Bond, they have a saying in Chicago, once is happenstance, twice is coincidence, the third time it's enemy action. How many times do we, you know, and again, you look at Kurzweil, Age of Spiritual Machines, Chapter 11, 2029, you know, we can, direct neural pathways have been perfected to the brain. And you can augment or replace certain functions of the brain like visual pattern recognition, long-term memory. Why would you want to do that? Because maybe you recognize once is happenstance, twice is coincidence, the third time it's enemy action. And remember, you know, I always think of Mike Rogers, who, you know, former FBI agent, then House Intelligence Committee chair, who was asked about Benghazi. What do you think? You know, what do you think about this story? And he said, well, you know, I mean, he said some other things, but then he said, the first thing you learn as a young FBI agent is there are coincidences, but they're not likely. And there are a lot of coincidences about this event. So, you know, you might want to target visual pattern recognition and long-term memory so that people don't recognize that once it's happenstance, twice it's coincidence, third time it's enemy action. Maybe, just maybe. So, you know, it's astonishing. Again, not everything is conspiracy, but you know what? Conspiracies are a real thing. When two people get together and decide in secret to do something nefarious, history shows that has happened a time or two. And to the people who are sort of naive to that, you gotta wonder, how would you know? You gotta ask, how would you know? How can you be so sure? When there are a lot of coincidences, stick around. We'll be right back.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations. A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Welcome back. Oh my goodness. The post-truth world. Post-truth America. Post-truth pop culture and social conventions, shall we say? You know, engineered by design. Anyway, back to the phones real quick. Glenn in Philly. Right? Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, Glenn.
I didn't hear any. Hey, I'm here. Okay, good. You know, Chris, you know, you being so erudite and all, sometimes you use words with which I'm not familiar. Like in last hour, like what's a pencil? Since I have a pencil, what's that?
A pencil, yeah. I don't know.
Is that like... Somebody said it's a writing implement of some sort, but I don't know if I'm familiar with it. Anyway.
Yeah. It's a mythical device from history.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, well, Greek mythology or something.
Ah, okay. Whatever. Yeah. And even then, there's lies associated with that, because with pencils, they'll talk about pencil lead, and there's no lead. It's graphite, really, right? So, you know,
right.
We're just surrounded... Yep. By deception on all sides. But you had mentioned Malthus. You were rattling off lists of various authors earlier and stuff. You were talking about Malthus. And what's interesting is he made his... Well, there's also, I mean, to the point that there's neo-Malthusian too these days. But, you know, one of the reasons nobody knows who Malthus is because supposedly, like, they were so badly shouted down by the cornucopian, you know, that the cornucopians would always point out that, okay, so there's this, you know, this shortage of things, but then innovation and progress always managed to... produce in, you know, a much greater way than, you know, the dearth, you know, than the demands would be. So, you know, we always manage. So somebody, you know, so the population grows and somebody finds a way to, you know, make wheat produce more, you know, or something like that. That, and basically in the days of when people still believed in progress, you know, progress, we're making progress in technology and everything. You know, the cornucopians managed to shout down the Malthusians. But he thinks the numbers are reaching critical mass, and those numbers are going to change. You know, like the statistic that always wows me is the one from the Census Bureau. I mentioned this numerous times before. You know, that every, you know, from if you search on the term world population events per time unit, you'll find the chart from the Census Bureau that shows that every day, 150,000 people die.
Right.
Approximately 104 people per minute die every day.
Right.
But every day, 350,000 new babies are born, thus making for a net increase in the world population of 200,000 every time the sun rises and sets. I can't get past this.
What do you make, then, of the World Bank's population growth data and the significant decline.
A significant decline? Okay.
Yeah, since 1969, you know, population growth rate, according to the World Bank data, peaked around 1969, 1971, and then it's fallen off ever since then. It peaked at 2.116. Hold on. It peaked at 2.116%. And 2.106% respectively in 1969 and 71, and then it's fallen off ever since then to, in 2017, 1.158.
Okay, that's easy. It's a decline in a growth rate, okay? That's like saying if your car is accelerating, if you're up on the highway and you drop on the gas and your car is accelerating really fast, but then as you're continuing to accelerate, you pull off the gas a little bit, and you're not as accelerating as fast, but you're still going faster and faster. But you're not accelerating as fast as you are. It's like the difference between. Yeah,
I'm usually with you on stuff, but I'm not with you on that. If you're not accelerating, you're probably decelerating because there's friction. That's how physics works.
Chris, it doesn't say the population rate. It says the growth rate of the population.
Right,
okay.
But we know. Right, we know based on what you're saying that, you know, if we believe sort of how the math works, so to speak, that you have to have a population growth rate of at least about 2.1% to sustain a population because of the mortality rate.
No, that's not a population. That's not the growth rate. You're talking about, like, you know, a couple needs to have 2.x kids in order to maintain the population the same. No, it's a growth rate, okay? So the rate is still growing. It isn't stuck growing. And it's a percentage of an ever larger number.
But like you said, there's a mortality. There's a coinciding mortality rate. So you have to, you know, the bathtub is draining at the same time it's allegedly filling. It's not getting, you know, it's not filling up unless it's filling up faster than it's draining. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty except for one man, still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up, and long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going for speed. She's all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and racing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance.
Welcome back. Bottom of the third hour already. Holy cow, that was fast. We're on the phones, and Glenn and Philly, we're talking about, I guess, you know, the population numbers and things, population growth rate, and there is, you know, I mean, again, when we start getting into this, I mean, this is stuff that we can't necessarily verify for ourselves, and so I think of Mark Twain quoting Benjamin Disraeli. Three kinds of lies: lies, damn lies, and statistics. That notwithstanding, mm-hmm. you know, we're talking about birth rate, mortality rate, growth rate kind of information. And there is, you know, there is some controversy on the subject for sure, even in the mainstream circles.
Okay, yeah, Chris. Okay, first of all, on this topic, first of all the stuff I've read about human, you know, population growth projections, the conventional wisdom for a long while on that has been that the human population would ultimately plateau out around 12 billion. Now, I don't know where they get their numbers, but, like, that's what, you know, those are the numbers that are always cited, that those who do this stuff professionally are saying that the world population would plateau out at around 12 billion. Now, that aside, historically, in recent decades, in the 20th century, especially after World War II, the European countries have always been a little bit below zero population growth. America has always hovered right around zero population growth. And all the burgeoning growth, you know, has been in the third world, and especially the industrializing countries of China and India. Okay, the technology and the industry allow them to, you know, to enhance agriculture and do things, but they're still badly out of control. I mean, and Africa, the stats you don't see quoted as much, but I think they tend to be different because of, you know, war-torn regions and infant mortality and stuff like that. But so they may say that the rate of growth has slowed, but it is still growth. It is still a rate. It is a growing rate. And we're nowhere near, I mean, if the number of people that died were the same as the number of babies being born, you'd be at zero population growth. But that is not the case. The number of babies born during any time period vastly outnumbers the number of people dying, you know? So it's many times. I mean, like I said, if you look at the census chart, okay, it's 150,000 die every day and 350,000 born every day and 200,000 additional new hungry mouths to feed every day. And without quality sources of protein, this is where the cornucopian argument could actually begin to falter in the face of the allegations of the neo-Malthusian. Okay?
Yeah, I understand your point. And I understand what you're saying, but I guess I respectfully disagree. I mean, my position is one of a staunch orthodox maintaining of the reissuing of the command from Genesis chapter 1 that was, you know, the command reissued in Genesis 9, after the flood, particularly verse 7, as for you, be fruitful and multiply, populate the earth abundantly and multiply in it. And, you know, when you start to, this is my conjecture, you start to understand, you know, if you're interested in the return of Christ, this is one of the things that could accelerate his return. If you're a nefarious character who doesn't want that, you might want to forestall that. And so then you have these real impetus. Hold on, Glenn. I listen to you without interrupting. Please just listen for a second. With all of that in mind, then you have, you know, all of these, you know, you have Malthus is a real character of history, T.H. Huxley, Darwin, Galton, all the eugenicists, the Göttingen School, Tuskegee, you know, eliminationism, the Club of Rome, the limits of growth, first global revolution, and the whole in searching for a new enemy to unite us, we came up with the threat of global warming, all of that nonsense. And you know, Kissinger's NSSM 200, you have all of these folks who are trying to suppress population growth. And now, you know, I would say that there are bioweapons. I would call vaccines a bioweapon. And if Dr. Stephanie Seneff's research is correct, and one in two children, 80% of boys born by 2032 are somewhere on the autism spectrum, I dare say that that the growth rate is going to suffer a significant decline at that point. And so that's when you start to get into the conjecture. You know, if folks go to the population growth entry on Wikipedia, for example, if you go down to the section titled Human Population Growth Rate, you'll see some of this controversy and how, you know, folks like Sanjeev Sanyal, they note, has argued that global fertility will fall below the replacement rate in the 2020s and that world population will peak below 9 billion by 2050, followed by a long decline. So, you know, I mean, all of this is talking about, to me, like, you know, hypothetical type numbers and stuff. But like I said, there's a lot of controversy even in the mainstream.
Now, in Genesis, when God, you know, issued the command to go forth, be fruitful, multiply, there were relatively few people on the earth, and yes, God wanted to populate the earth. I assume he still does. But, so that's one thing. Now, humans have successfully been prolific and really, you know, and up until a point, the technological developments, you know, touted by the Cornucopians have held the fort in many places, but not everywhere. And usually when there is famine, it's things like Haile Selassie in Ethiopia or Maduro in Venezuela withholding food that is available from the people. Or
Are these people, you know, the CIA fact book likes to publish numbers on annual birth rate, mortality rate, growth rate. Are these people, you know, are they assets, by the way? Anyway, I digress.
Yeah. Again, and this question of human evil wanting to kill off people, and then nefarious things they do to hurt humans and kill humans and limit population and fertility and all that, that's sort of a separate subject. Historically, humans have been very fertile, are very fertile, and population is something of a problem. But then we also have to look at, eventually, in spite of whatever destructions man might, you know, bring to bear on the earth, the greater destructions by far are going to be when the earth comes over, you know, under judgment in the last days. I mean, those of us who believe in Christ and are looking for the return of Christ, you know that, you know, that things are going to change once he comes and institutes the millennium. If you're a millennialist and you believe in the literal millennium, then he's going to get all this stuff under control in ruling the earth during the millennium. If you're an amillennialist, and if you're a dominionist, I think you're quite crazy, because it's pretty obvious that there's not going to be any dominionism of Christians in the world. I don't know how obvious that has to be. But for amillennialists, they just would say, see everything coming to, this great point of critical mass, and then Christ comes and he judges it, and then they see the new heaven and new earth. I personally am a millennialist. So, yeah, this stuff's going to, you know, but the population's going to be a problem. The nefarious, you know, designs of humans are going to be a problem. And yet I still see the world population growing. But ultimately, broad is the way and wide is the gate that leads to destruction. You know, many there be who go in there at narrow is the way, straight is the gate that leads to light, few be find it. Jesus will come back. He will redeem. He won't lose any. His Father has given him. You know, those who are going to be redeemed are going to be redeemed. And those who remain on the earth will be here. And, you know, so, yeah, all this stuff is building to a crescendo. Obviously, all these things are going to build to a crescendo. Are humans going to achieve moderation or justice or mercy in the process or ethical behavior? No. Sinful humanity is not going to behave in an ethical or moderate manner. That's why it's going to be judged.
Right, but that doesn't mean that in the meantime we just start living like hell, right?
No, we must always behave in what we believe, you know, God is leading us to do in terms of what constitutes ethical and moderate and active, you know, behavior. If he calls us to be activistic, you know, in a certain area. Different people do various mitzvahs or good works so we're always called to do the right thing, even if it seems like it's not going to win. You're still, you know, if you're a principled person, and there's a horrible political candidate and a good one, and the good one doesn't look like he stands as much of a chance, he or she, you're still, you know, morally bound to go out and cast your vote for the one you believe to be good, even if that person's not going to win. You know, so, you know, we should always be striving to do right and to live redemptively, even if we know the whole world's not going to get redeemed.
It's ironic, you know, that there is, I think, a confluence of subject matter. But, you know, there are some trending articles that really are provocative reminders to me. So the Atlantic article this month, climate change enters its blood-sucking phase. That's an interesting bit of propaganda. NPR article published 2 days ago, scientists released controversial genetically modified mosquitoes in high-security lab. What could possibly go wrong there? And the MIT Technology Review article, the CRISPR twins had their brains altered. That's a fun one. And so I take all of that and sort of roll it up and then go back to the Wired magazine article I mentioned the other day, the devastating allure of medical miracles. And we all know that what glitters isn't always gold. It doesn't always work out, you know. I mean, the danger that we're hearing, like, of you know, the advanced bio research and things, where, you know, this advanced technology is notorious for snake oil sales, where we hear this is the thing, this is going to do it, and guess what, we end up with articles like The Devastating Allure of Medical Miracles over at Wired magazine a few days.
Sure, there was that time when Bill Gates walked into to address a crowded auditorium of people one time and opened up a cup with mosquitoes and it released them out, you know, into the air, and then proceeded to pontificate about the things. And we know these globalists, they're at least have personality disorders, and they're quite mad, probably sociopaths, which are, you know, many of them, all narcissistic, hedonistic.
George Bernard Shaw's Unreasonable Man. Yeah.
Yeah, take your pick, you know. I mean, and others will say, and talk about demonic influences, you know. But, I mean, even if you're taking a secular approach, I think sociopathy is bad enough. You know, you might even want to think of Satan as the quintessential sociopath, devoid of conscience and empathy, you know.
If you're... what's his name? You know, Saul Alinsky. He's the first radical.
yeah, exactly. Yeah, a radical with no empathy for his victims.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, it's no coincidence. You know, that's no coincidence, right? You know, Alinsky would say such a thing.
Right.
You know? You know, I mean, even radicals, even the guys who, you know, threw the tea into Boston Harbor, you know, they were doing something illegal. They were practicing, you know, rebellion and stuff, but they weren't utterly devoid of principles merely because they did something that was considered illegal. You know, there's a difference between, you know, a vigilante and a serial killer, you know. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, there's certainly up against a lot of people. I frankly expect things to become, you know, quite a bit worse in the coming years. And, you know, obviously these culture killing, people killing culture, with things like the immigration crisis, it's obviously for the purpose of undoing a culture, including its prevailing historical ethic.
Speaking of that, what John was saying reminds me of Ezra Pound's words. This kind of sort of brings it back to mind, you know, Ezra Pound, you know, saying that the technique of infamy is to invent two lies and get you arguing heatedly about which one is true. And so kind of what you're talking about reminds me of this whole, the latest round of the PSYOP, the latest chapter in the PSYOP that has people arguing, you know, should we leave this picture up? Should we not? Those are the wrong questions. You know, why was this picture taken? For what purpose has it been paraded in front of our consciousness for decades now? And, you know, what is the social engineering behind it?
Well, I was thinking about that. That, of course, is a conspiratorial take on it, which may not have merit. But I was thinking about
if the photograph was taken in, you know, in accordance with Bernays's admission that newsworthy events involving people usually don't happen by accident, they were planned deliberately to accomplish a purpose, to influence ideas and actions. And there were people plotting in secret to do that and to influence people, to manipulate people, as Bernays put it pretty frankly in The Engineering of Consent, then isn't that a conspiracy? I think it is. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Feel it's their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me. But my answer, I won't spread the news
that if it feels it's good getting used, oh, you just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up. My brother.
Welcome back. Final segment of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. Hopefully it's been, I don't know, thought-provoking, if nothing else. You know, there are other, there's just so much of this evidence, you know. Francis Fukuyama, our post-human future, consequences of the biotechnology revolution, sort of harbingers of doom, you know. And speaking of Fukuyama, the end of history and the last man. That's fun. What was that book? I can't think of it. The one that I mentioned recently. That also seems to contradict a lot of the popular Malthusian rhetoric. I don't remember. Maybe it'll come to me in a second here. Anyway, any final thoughts, Glenn?
About the photographs. You know, you mentioned the Times Square photo, the Kissinger or the Vietnamese girl, Napalm girl, and then of course the one you did mention was the really famous picture of the Cambodian Buddhist monk lighting himself on fire.
Sure, and Tiananmen Square and all of that kind of stuff, yep.
Yeah. Now, in terms of the availability of photographic equipment, you know, with the time, say, of World War II, the end of World War II there, I mean, the Times Square, I mean, there's always been lots of camera stores and stuff like that, and, you know, okay, so maybe hundreds or, you know, dozens or hundreds of pictures were submitted to that editor who published the photograph. And, you know, it would have been more, you know, the editor himself who would have been more making the choice and having some, you know, maybe some devious motive. But that's pretty psychosocially sophisticated stuff to think about, this picture, you know, there's, the, you know, I'm thinking of Alan Watts today, you know, the ostensible purpose for the ostensible reason or the good reason versus the real reason. That.
Right.
You sort of get into that. And I've lost track of keeping touch with, I have no idea what Alan's up to these days. I haven't followed his stuff. Don't know if he's still holding forth out there. But, you know, some of these things are possible, but on the other hand, you don't want to become, you know, the mere fact they're out to get you doesn't mean you're not, you know, paranoid.
Or onto something. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And let's not forget that nobody sees more conspiracies than the government.
Exactly. Yep. Hates competition. Wish I remember the title of that book. Can't seem to recall it. Anyway, that'll do it for today. I hope you have a great weekend. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
A cold finger beckons you to enter his web of sin, but don't go in. Golden words he will pour in your ear, but his lies can't disguise what you feel. Kiss of death from Miss.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
You're listening.